Thank you very much. Okay, so as I said at the beginning, we now have an opportunity for sharings, and actually, I think this is great. We've got we've got eight little vignettes, I think, of God's working in our lives, and I think it'd be great for us to sort of listen with ears of faith. For hearing what God's been doing in different people's lives in the circumstances that we all face ourselves, but also see if you can find yourself in any of them, that they might resonate with you, so that would build your faith for what God is doing in your life as well. And it could be in, you know, the positive things or the difficult things or whatever. I don't know everything that everyone's going to be saying, so I'm listening as attentively as you lot. But I encourage you to listen with is a faith that it might encourage you to say, in these circumstances, God is alive and at work. So the first up, I'll give a little bit of warning. The first up will be Mags, followed by Bob, and then followed by Nadia. Okay? So, and as one finishes, there's no need for me to make any statements in between, at least for those three. So Bob goes straight in after Mags, and Nadia, if you come straight in after Bob. Okay, over to you, Mags.
Hello, can everybody hear me okay? Great. Dan, if you or Bob or Anthony would wave at me if I suddenly go offline, you're the three that I can see, so that would be great help so I don't keep going. Yes, I miss you all. And it's been one of the delights of COVID that I see your faces more closely at these meetings. I wanted to share a few things about connections, I suppose, would be the thread. And certainly as regards connecting to people, it's been a strange time. But I wanted to pull out some more positive things. If you were in my sharing group, you'd be getting the gory details, which has been an emotional roller coaster of 5 weeks in most of our lives. But I'll just give you the airbrushed version for today, for all our sakes. But I would say on a happy note in terms of relationships, it's been a rich time for me. So I had a Bethany retreat yesterday, remotely with my sisters in Europe. So how might that work, you might wonder. So we kind of gather on Zoom, we pray a bit, then we go off, do our thing, then we come back and share about a book we're reading, and then we go off for a while, and then we had Lord's Day, and it was lovely. So yes, these things can be done. I've been a bit of a skeptic, but I'm growing in faith. The second thing to share is at Easter, I wasn't quite sure how Holy Week would go. So thankfully, Antioch did some lovely things and churches did some lovely things. But I was a bit intrepid about Easter weekend, the Triduum that you might call it. I just couldn't quite figure out how that worked, living in a flat and usually being in a very rich relational time. But the Lord has surprised me again and again. And in this case, I had just an amazing Good Friday. I was off work, which helps. And then I went to Antioch prayers three times, which is lovely. Did some church stuff. It's just a lovely day. And then on Seder, the Saturday night in Belfast, there's been a tradition to have a Seder meal, which I've done for most of 20 years there. And I often go back there for that event. So I did that with my old Belfast household, which was lovely. And then Easter Sunday, I spent with a family, Stephen Finn Johnson's family, on Easter Sunday lunch. So that was really lovely too. Again, thanks to this funny software thing that we're on right now. So yeah, there are some of the kind of highlights of the relational time. I wanted to share a quick thing that God is doing with me, and then wrap up with a quick a practical thing. So in terms of me and the Lord, I went on retreat on the 8th of March. I tend to get a weekend every couple of months. I had a weekend in a little place called the House of Prayer in Surrey. And I want to share just the word the Lord gave me there. Are people still hearing me okay? Yes, great. So the word that the Lord gave me there was sort of interesting. So if you know Hosea 2, so the chapter about the woman who lived a particularly colorful life, called Hosea. In the second chapter, there's a lot about the Lord bringing us into the wilderness and speaking to us, which you might remember. But much earlier than that in the chapter, she says, I will go after other lovers. And he says, well, we won't have much of that. So he's going to wall her in. So the Lord thought that perhaps I needed that. And he told me that he was going to wall me in so that I couldn't get distracted from being with him. And I didn't quite know what that meant. But yeah, you can fill in the rest yourself. But it's been an adventure. And the Lord has allowed me to just have much more of a paced life. So I've cooked a lot more for myself. I've spent a lot more time talking to the Lord over chopping carrots and doing my compost and planting bulbs. And the Lord has indeed walled me in, and it's been great. And the final thing I would say is, some of you might know that my sister Katie is my closest living relative, and she lost her job at the start of this thing, which was quite a big thing. And she found out yesterday that she's going to have work for the next while. So that's a big thing for her. And the last practical thing to say is Katrine Blatchley and I did some prayer ministry on Zoom, even though I was a big skeptic about it too. But there was a few reasons why we had to go ahead, and it worked. If you want to do prayer ministry on Zoom, talk to Katrine. And otherwise, I'm done. Thanks a lot. See you, Bob.
Bob, over to you. Are you still there?
We can't hear you, Bob.
Bob's muted, I think.
Let me try that again. So, I want to share about what the Lord showed me about himself during the 3 days of the Easter weekend. It was much quieter than normal. I wasn't with long processions and lots of people in my church. And I felt like the Lord showed me that the Lord Jesus was a human being. Now, that's pretty basic theology, yeah? And I learned it when I was a little kid. But it was like a stronger insight or a new insight. I remember various people, when they just got baptized in the Holy Spirit, would say to me, you know, the Lord loves us. And we'd say, yeah, we agree. He loves you. And it was that kind of insight. Like, I knew the truth, believed in the truth, but it was something of an insight of the reality of Jesus being a man as he was going through the suffering and dying and then rising for us. The other two things, I guess, have to do with being on my own, my little flat. I noticed my soul, if you can say it that way. I noticed that I was much more aware of my preferences, my desires, my flesh, and kind of embarrassing to some extent of noticing all those things more clearly, because I wasn't with people much at all. And it was a much less busy time. And the silence allowed me to be more attentive to those insights the Lord was giving me, and then to work on the areas. And there's a lot of work to do, you know, but it was just delightful to have some space to notice those things. I guess the third thing, and it's what a lot of us experience, is I'm in isolation. I'm in deep isolation or something, according to what the government does, because I'm over 70, they tell me. And a lot of people I talk to who are in the similar situation, who are not in the community, say, how are you doing? You're getting everything you need. Well, I've just been overwhelmed by you, brothers and sisters, the offers of care, various people sort of serious about doing my shopping for me so I don't need to go to any shops and experience COVID opportunities. So just a lovely experience of being part of a family, you all. Thanks. Nadia.
Thank you, Bob. I hope people can hear me. Like Bob, I just want to thank the Lord for people who have been helping me, as I'm also well into my 70s now. I've had offers of help with shopping, and I do need help in that area, as I don't want to be part of the government statistics every day, and end up with my niece in ICU, where she works at the moment. But I've had help from my family, obviously, also Camilla, our dear sister. I had Natalie. I've had Esme giving offers of help, and I just have been, like Bob, overwhelmed. I've also experienced more phone calls than normal, strangely, which has been good because a lot of my older friends who actually died, people who used to phone me that I knew from way back, several died in the past 6 or 7 months, and I've been to funerals in France and up north, and but they've been replaced by young friends, good young friends, who've surprised me with phone calls. And on Easter Sunday, I had a surprise card, which I noticed Bob had the same one on his shelf there, from Amy and Eleanor, with a chocolate inside, which is lovely. And basically, the Lord has shown me that what he said to me in Psalm 23 is true, that he's provides for me in a wonderful way in the sight of my enemies, which of course is COVID and co at the moment, amongst other satanic colleagues of his or hers. Mercy and goodness will follow me all the days of my life. So thank you, Lord. Over to whoever.
Thank you. Thank you, Nadia. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Amy. Yes, indeed. Oh, sorry, Mags. great sharings. And I think that's been a real positive thing that's come out, is some of the support that's been offered. And I do want to sort of thank again the folks in YPO who sort of put their hand up right at the beginning of this and said, you know, if there's any help that's required, let us know. And I marked to a few people as well at that time, is that that's a great expression of transgenerational or intergenerational community, that we've got people who are, we have a number in our community who are isolated by themselves in their flats and their houses, but we have younger people who have a little bit more, let's say, flexibility under the isolation rules to go out and do the shopping and care for them. And I think that's been a great mark of the last 5-6 weeks. Okay, what I'd like to do now is hand over to Kyria, then Nathan, and then followed by Val. I'm just checking that Val is there.
Yes, I'm here.
Wonderful, Val. How are we doing?
Thank you.
We're doing for time. We're okay for you, Val, yes?
Yeah, thank you.
That's great. So, Kyria, if you could go up first, and then hand straight over to Nathan, and then after Nathan, it's you, Val, okay? And then I'll make a comment, and then there'll be the last two. I'll make a comment after you, Val, and the last two will be Ben and then Anne. Kyria, over to you.
You see, I'm flanked by two of my bodyguards this afternoon. Hello. So I'd like to share a few points. First of all, this is sort of from a personal point of view, but obviously it's the whole family. There's five of us living in the house here. So the thing that hit me hardest, and some positive things about this COVID time. So
Number one on my list of things that I found really difficult. Normally I swim 4 or 5 times a week. I have found it so hard that swimming pools are closed, because although we go for walks every day, we go speed walking, it's not the same for me. I like to be in water. Number two, most of you probably know that in January we started building work, which we would not have started if we had known this was going to happen, that there would be this lockdown. So we moved everything from the back of the house into the front of the house, and we had the building work starting. So basically, because of the lockdown, some companies who were supplying us obviously had to stop. So for the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks, we've had no flooring in the kitchen. We've got no glass doors. We wanted French windows. Those French windows never arrived. We wanted a glass roof. The roof never arrived. So we've got plastic sheeting over the top. But basically, we've all been quite crammed up. And I thank goodness the weather's a lot better now, because in March, I was really, really cold and there was nothing any of us could do about it. So that leads me on to say, we're really praying that once things lift, that we'll be able to get a roof and some doors fairly soon, fairly quickly. Another thing that we found quite difficult, of course, is the uncertainty of James's job, who works for an airline, because of course, nobody's flying at the moment. Planes are empty, so we don't know what's going to happen there. James, give us a wave so we know that. Thank you. And finally, on the difficult things, again, quite a lot of you know about this, that in December, I fell over. I fell in the street running for a train. And I was with Nathaniel and Joshua and Benjamin, and they all said to me, "Mom, don't run, we've got time." But I wasn't listening, I was being silly. I fell and I put my hand out to stop my fall, and the whole weight of my body went on my arm. So it isn't fractured, it isn't broken or anything, but basically I've been in pain since December the 22nd. And when I first went to the doctor about it, he told me that there was an 8-week waiting list for physiotherapy. Well, that 8-week waiting list has now turned to 16 weeks or 20 weeks or 24 weeks or whatever. So I've been given painkillers, but it is bothering me. It's a real problem. And several of you have prayed with me about it, but it's still a problem. Anyway, those are the negative things. On the positives during this time, obviously, there's more time to spend with the Lord in prayer. Normally, I would have my prayer time 3 times a week. I go into Westminster. So normally, I would have my prayer time on the 148 bus chugging along up the Bayswater Road, which is fine. It's actually been really nice to have prayer time at home with a cup of coffee and home comforts, more time to spend in prayer. More time as a family, the 5 of us here. We've been doing lots of stuff in the house, doing domestic skills. Joshua's shaking his head, but he's doing lots of domestic skills and life skills with his brothers.
Oh.
Number 3, more time for reading. It's just wonderful. I love to read. I love to read. And probably like most of us, we've all got stacks of books on our bookshelves. We've never had time to read. So I'm really enjoying reading things more. Number 4, going to church together. Normally, under normal time on a Sunday, we're all over the place, the 5 of us, because of sports fixtures in the mornings. We very often end up going to different church services. But because we've been doing church together online, it's been really, really nice to do that together as a family. I've been selling eBay stuff. Loads of people buying stuff on eBay. It's very good that has increased. And finally, one of my hobbies, I started when I was 11 years old. I started a postcard collection. And I've had time to do this. Having put it aside for 25 years, 26 years, I just stacked all the postcards up. And I've had time to go through my postcard collection. And you know, it's brilliant because, like, when I lived at Stowe Road in the last century, James says, in 1984, 85, 86, everybody in Stowe Road in that household knew that I collected postcards. So whenever anybody received a postcard, they gave it to me. And it's just been such fun going through the postcard collection, seeing all the postcards. A lot of them are from you guys, you know, and all your travels that you sent postcards to Stowe Road. And I've been going through them, and it's a real blessing to thank God for all the times that we've had and all the travels that we've had. So that's me. Thank you.
As you can imagine, when the whole COVID-19 pandemic started, working in procurement or supply chain or buying for a supermarket was fairly mental. So I had about 3 weeks of manic work. And I think both Nina and I work in food and grocery. So her little business that she was working for was crazy. My work was crazy. So we both were a bit flat out for about a month up until Easter. And then Easter week is really busy for us. So I was working like crazy again. And Christina was very busy. So we were both just flat out. So we kind of went into Good Friday, both a little bit, how would you say? I think a little bit kind of, not burnt out, but just on like tired. And then I felt a bit flat. Our Easter service was online, but it wasn't. It was a little bit, I would say, it's interesting, to be polite. It was difficult to engage with. Then on Easter Saturday, or Easter Sunday, sorry, we were, that weekend, we were meant to be going to Easter camp to be leaders at the Armed Forces Easter camp, which many of you guys or your kids have gone along to. We were leaders along with the Sewell boys, and there was a few other people there. Thomas Doyle was there, Serena Curry was there. So there was a lot of people, but we were obviously, it was all digital, online. This was my first year, very apprehensive to how it would go. As I said, I went in feeling a bit flat, not really sure what to expect, not sure how I was going to engage with it. As it started then on the Monday, obviously Easter Monday didn't work, but I was really blessed by being able to partake in it because 10 o'clock in the morning, or I think it was 10, there was a Bible study. So you got to actually just engage with people and talk about the Bible and hear about it. And that was great. And then there was afternoon activities, so you could just have a bit of fun. And then in the evening, there was worship and a talk. And it was all about the spiritual gifts, which was fantastic. So just really refreshing. A chance to, and for me, feeling a bit flat, that's what I needed, a chance to really reflect on ourselves. And where God, what God gifted us with, and how are we entering into those gifts, and how are we using them? And so that was a real blessing. It was a blessing to be able to help with some young folk in their walk with the Lord and their how they engage with the spiritual gifts as well. And it was just fantastic. For me personally to be involved with that, because my prayer, I really began to focus my prayer that week on and I kind of felt called at the start of lockdown to read a couple of Psalms every day, so I've been doing that in my morning prayer, and that's just brought me into and that brought the Psalms to light whenever I was sort of focusing in on my spiritual gifts again and on what the Lord has gifted me with and how I read the Bible. So that was a real blessing. But not only that, it was kind of, you know, lockdown has been tough for when you've got a shoebox flat with two extroverts in it. It can be a bit much. So it was great to actually be able to be involved with, you know, people who from all across the country and do things online and set challenges for one another. And like Nina went for a walk and came home and I was dressed in a red bodysuit, so it was just a red morph suit dancing around to rave music. Then that was what I was doing, and it was for a challenge for people The schools responded outstandingly. Big shout out to James, who was included in a cracking job, James. So it was just a fantastic time for us, both spiritually, emotionally, and I think going into a weekend feeling tired and flat, coming out the other side of it feeling energized and full of the spirit.
Okay, is that nice and finished?
Yes.
Okay, sure. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, a lot of my life I've been a carer and I've thought of myself as supporting vulnerable elderly people, and it's a little bit of a shock to discover that I'm being classed as elderly and vulnerable. And I'm constantly being told the best thing I can do for myself and everybody else in the community is to stop at home. So I've got dear Claire and Caroline and my lovely next door neighbour. When they go shopping, they do shopping for me as well. And, you know, it's been a big adjustment. But to start with, I could see lots of positives in it. You know, I didn't have to keep looking at the clock. I could spend more time having praise and worship, more time with the Lord. But I also quickly realised that being on my own, I needed routine and discipline, because I could actually spend all day pottering around, achieving very little. And I was also aware that, you know, God didn't want me to see this time just as a time when you sort of grit your teeth and got to get through it. That time is very precious and it should be used wisely. And he wanted me to use this time in a good way. And it had potential, if I, you know, spent more time with him, prayed more, that actually it could be more fruitful than when I think I'm busy and doing things. So one of the things that he's been doing a lot with me is reminding me and giving me lots of blessings, but then counsel it immediately by me needing to pray for the people that are in the opposite situations to me. And one of the recent blessings I had was, you probably remember some time ago you were praying for me because I had spinal fracture caused by osteoporosis at the same time as I had breast cancer, and I was in a lot of physical pain with a spinal fracture and very debilitated and thought life would never be the same again. And we were praying that I wouldn't have to have surgery, but that I would get better. Well, the outcome was that I was given an annual infusion. And that was due on March the 23rd. And I hadn't heard that it had been cancelled, but on the other hand, I did wonder if it would be. And my appointment was early on the Monday morning, so I set off and managed to get spaced on the train and went to Norfolk Park Hospital. Cut a long story short, I got the infusion, for which I really thank God, because if I didn't get it that day, I didn't know when I'd get it. And because it's an annual thing, it was really quite important. But it was the day of the lockdown, and so it made it sort of a double blessing that I'd actually got it. But immediately I wanted to pray for all those people who were disappointed, didn't get treatment, are now waiting for treatment for different things, haven't had operations they were hoping for. And I've just been, you know, just so grateful for that. I'm so grateful I've got a garden. I've got lovely places to walk where I can do my daily walk. And that's been very interesting. Sometimes I walk daily quietly. Sometimes I'm meeting people and, you know, spatially chatting to them, people I don't know, I've never met before. I've made some new friends, I think. And, you know, some of them are such an inspiration to me, and others I'm able to perhaps give some encouraging words to. But also I'm immediately reminded of all those people, the ones we don't see, the ones that are in the tower blocks, the ones in difficult relationships, you know, people in bed and breakfast. People in refugee camps, you know, ones in shanty towns, those are persecuted brothers and sisters, many in solitary confinement. You know, when I think I'm struggling, my lockdown would seem quite luxurious to them, I'm sure. And one of the highlights of my week's Thursday nights at 8 o'clock, I go out with my saucepan and my spoon and make a lot of noise. And it's been very liberating, actually, waving to all the hooting cars that go by. And also, what's been nice, waving to the people. I live on the main road. I don't know the people on the other side of the road. So we're waving to each other, and it's nice to see everybody, making sure everybody's there each week, and we've had another week where everybody's okay. So that's been really good. I'm going to have to tone down my walks a bit because I found I'm clapping the bin men, I'm clapping the postman and anybody else I happen to see. But I can see they really appreciate it and I want to carry on appreciating them, but perhaps not quite such an enthusiastic way after all of this. And one of the main blessings in my life has been how the Lord led Bob and Marie and myself to this community all those years ago in the early 80s. And, you know, the wonderful fellowship I've had and the teaching, the discipleship, the support I've had over many years. You know, over 30 years ago, there was a group of people moved into Hillingdon, and that came just at the time as Bob had terminal cancer and was very ill. And I got such a lot of support then with those living here and those rest of you in the community. And then some of them were still around 10 years later when Marie died. And I have just been incredibly blessed and so grateful for all of that. And, you know, I was born in the Blitz. So I've been through lots of world crisis. I've been through personal crisis. And I know that nothing stays the same. Things will change. We do get through these things. The only thing that doesn't change, of course, is God. And, you know, if our hope and our certainty aren't in him, it must be very frightening. For many people, everything they've put their hope and certainty into, their security into, has just all suddenly disappeared. And, you know, that's very, very frightening for them. So I'm hoping that many will turn to the Lord at this time and we can be prepared perhaps to have conversations with people who are looking for hope after this. I can remember many years ago Dan Keating sharing he was on a flight which in the middle of a terrible thunderstorm, thunder, lightning, it kept plunging and dropping and people were very, very scared. And he was saying how, you know, how vulnerable they felt, but we're actually that vulnerable all the time and we just don't realise it when things are going well. And I think this is a time when, for, you know, everybody, we realise when things are going well, you think you're managing fine, but we are that vulnerable all the time. But because our hope and our security, our anchor's in God, you know, we feel safe whatever happens, but for many people that's not so. So I'm looking forward to seeing you all again soon, whenever, and I can remember what you all look like. But until that time comes, I'm going to keep calm and carry on, hopefully. But that's me finished. Thank you.
Thanks, Val.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Thank you, Val.
Just to commend Val to you all because you know she dials in on her phone, you know, for all of these meetings and you know some of the prayers that we do during the week. So, thank you, Val, for being so faithful and coming along to all these things, even though you're just dialing in on your phone as opposed to a laptop or a tablet or whatever, and being able to see everyone.
Thank you for organising it. That I could. It's been brilliant.
All right, so to the last two. First up, Ben, and then to Anne. Over to you, Ben.
Right, okay. Thanks a lot for that, Dan. Okay, so what I'm going to talk about is really God's grace, which has been really pouring out on all of us. We're here since I started my lockdown. The sense I got was very much from Hebrews 4:16, which has really sustained me. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our hour of need. I have been in lockdown before. 3 years ago, when I was doing my cancer and chemotherapy, I was pretty much in a similar sort of situation to now, in that I wasn't allowed to go out and meet people or go gather in large congregations or anything like that. So this is different, though, in the sense that they're very much the banning of small gatherings, the banning of doing things with other people. I can't have people come to me or me go to them. So this is a different scenario. So in some ways, it's a little bit more challenging. I'm on day 47 of my lockdown because I was one of the first people off work. I'm not due back to work until middle of June at the very earliest because I have vulnerable conditions. So from that point of view, I will not be going back to work until then. I should say on my work, it's a little bit interesting, is I'm not actually doing any paid work at home because the employer hasn't got any facilities for working from home at the moment. They are working on it, so it's just really in some ways it's positive to be able to spend time at home without having to worry about work. The downsides of lockdown, and there are two or three. Living with the whole family for 24 hours is challenging because there are, you have to deal with the good habits and the bad habits. So relying on computer communication the whole time is difficult as well, particularly when your main computer breaks down halfway through the week. Fortunately, it's being repaired and I'll have it back all being well next week. But that's make communication with the outside world quite difficult. No face-to-face contact is quite difficult as well. No, obviously I mentioned the paid work, no physical school to take kids to or no sort of physical feedback from the teachers is an interesting one. Gina has been doing some shopping now and again, very much now and again, and it's very much a case of going to one shop rather than whizzing around four or five shops. So that's I suppose, a downside. Everything's taking so much longer to do. But where God's grace has been kicking in, which is what I was referring to right at the beginning of my sharing, is the electronics has proved a main communication in terms of providing a lifeline. We've been tuning into all our services, prayer time, sharing groups, etc. We've been a very inspiring sight to actually listen to that. And that's really our way in, a window into the outside world at the moment. The other thing which has been important to observe is all the various different random acts of kindness. Lloyd, for instance, getting by and helping us with our shopping, and local neighbours have helped out in shopping as well. Now they're aware of me being at risk, so they've been absolutely brilliant in terms of actually getting around and helping us. The homeschooling has been very good as well, in terms of actually not just Gina and I having to do the homeschooling for both the girls, but also we've had terrific help from Helen Warsfield, who's been coming on the line every day for at least an hour or so, just to provide a different voice for the girls and to provide a different input into the various different subjects they're doing, which is a really practical way of actually getting community assistance with homeschooling, which is challenging when you're doing it with the two of you. But the other thing about homeschooling is you get to see how clever your wife is and how clever your kids really are as well when you get really, really hands-on with the homeschooling. So that's a positive about it as well. My work, to be fair, they're trying their best to stay in touch. I have regular phone meetings with my line manager, regular team meetings and so on. So they have actually tried to keep in touch. And the other thing which I must mention from a community point of view is Youth Link have been very, very inspiring, the work they put together for Georgia Grace and the other youth in community, teaching life skills like cookery skills, cookery classes, and the small groups keeping them going for them. So, yeah, she's found it quite difficult, Georgia Grace, but she's been really inspired by the Youth Link happening. So in summary, lockdown for us means living by God's grace for this season in our lives.
Over to me now, Dan.
That's right. Over to you, Anne.
Right. Well, I've had a very special, unique blessing through the lockdown. As many of you know, I upsticks over 3 years ago, moved from my home and where I was very much part of the community in Berrymead Gardens down to South Acton, really believing that God had called me. And I thought everything was going to happen, wallop, bang, and it was all going to be exciting and all go, and I was going to meet loads of people all at once and everything. But it really didn't happen. I didn't know where to start with the people in my own block, because it wasn't like coming into a community, because everybody was new and I just somehow couldn't get past the general pleasantries. And I think it wasn't my problem. I think everybody, it was the same. I guess the ones with kids knew that they could relate well to one another, but I was really struggling and doubting that I'd heard accurately from God. 3 years had gone by, and well, what have I done? I've made a bit of a better headway in the social block, and I got to know people, but it was hard work. And then all of a sudden it started, with the lockdown, people obviously embarrassed, didn't know if I was over or under 70. Notices of all my neighbours started appearing on the door if there's anybody in any elderly in isolation. I was the only elderly person to let us know, and blah blah blah, and it was so lovely. Every single one of them offered, in a sense, but God knows, I can't say unfortunately, because God knows I'd kept my cleaner on to do shopping for me and run errands for me, and she was desperate to be earning her money, you know what I mean? So I didn't have too much on the shopping front, but I've had one or two things that that I've asked the neighbours to do. I've been pleased when I've had a problem, even to the jamming of my laser printer. I thought, oops, what a time to happen. But again, it made a neighbour was so delighted. We obviously took all the social distancing precautions. But the lovely thing is, I'm finding I can communicate now. I've found three households well into dancing. And ironically, the people above me, the people below, and then the lady just along a little bit. But it's so lovely. I found things that subjects or interesting common. I was thrilled to bits a lady who lives on the ground floor. She's a classical language teacher, and I love language and roots and everything. So I'm so thrilled that I feel that God now is opening up. I've got to start getting myself a bit organized, because I'm going to be inviting like different households. I might have more than one at once, it'll just depend. But I feel as though at long last I've got an opening, particularly in my own block, because I see a number of the people who've got gardens, so that's really encouraging. And then along in the social block, there's obvious need there, and I've been thrilled a bit, so I've been able to pray with a lonely old lady there who's, you know, finding things difficult. Don't know if anybody knows her, Maria. She's a Roman Catholic, but because she hasn't got any modern technology or anything, she's not in touch with the church. And I prayed with a gentleman on the street. He was in his front garden, and I was shouting across, and I learned he was not able to work taxi driver. And I said, I explained I was a Christian, and I said, would you like me to pray for you? And after I'd stopped praying, although we were a distance, I could see there's all tears coming down his face, and I've got opportunities there. Our church does a Good News newspaper, and at last I feel I know people well enough. Peter's done the delivery now, so I'll be getting on with it, hoping to get some more people to be able to give that to and open up the way. But I feel that it's been a very unique opportunity for me. What I feel very, very much at this time, we've got such an opportunity of Christians. We've got a peace that it's impossible for the world to have. It's impossible for the world to take it away. It's impossible for them to understand, because it passes all understanding. So I feel best of all, through this time and situation, I can just stroll in my hour every day. I really use it to walk among people, and hopefully they can see that I've got a joy and a peace. It says in the Bible, in Psalm 34:5, look unto him and be ye radiant. And that's my prayer in this time, that people will see a little old lady on their own And normally people think poor old lady, but I think it's a wow time. And I'm just hoping and praying that that folk round about me will see and think this doesn't make sense when they see my joy and my peace, and that they will be provoked to jealousy and come to know Jesus. I feel as though I've started work just one more little thing. There's all sorts going on now in the old community of South Acton. Confidentiality, I can't say too much, but I really feel, particularly this week, God has confirmed my calling to South Acton. Done.
Thanks, Anne.
Bless your heart.
That's great, Anne.
Yeah, that's great,
Thank you, Anne. Yes, thank you to everyone. That was wonderful. That was better, more encouraging than any talk.